out of sight.
All right. Hey, Ty, we're recording.
Hey, we're recording. How you doing, Rocky?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. I know we were talking. It's been a while since we've done kind of a late night themed episode, so I thought that might be kind of fun to just dust off the old caps and do that.
It is, dude. Just another late night of talking with the buddy and drinking a brew, you know?
Oh, yeah, and a lot of people know that whenever they tune into the late night CSP episodes, that's basically all it is it's just a little bit edgier, a little bit more laid back, and we're just drinking. And by the third segment, a lot of things become kind of indecipherable, I'd say.
I think so. I think really that's what it is. We're testing the limits of our content and also our alcohol content a little bit too.
So. I would agree with that most definitely. Well, since we're just starting off with this subject, I mean, what are you sipping on right now?
I got a German brew, if you can believe that. It's called, let me see if I can pronounce it, I'm just going to do it German style. It's Frühling Weissbier.
That's Fest fancy. Beer. That's fancy.
Frühling Weissbier. Yeah, and it's basically just a Marzen, which is like a pale lager. And it's like your standard Fest beer, really, for Fest. And it's pretty good. It's not bad. Dinkelacker is the is the brewer.
Is that sort of like the, I guess, would you refer that to like maybe the Bud Light of Germany?
No. They have other ones like, God, I can't think of the big brewers here. No, they have other ones. This is way more of like I guess it's kind of like a craft brew. Like I'm sure in some places they'll have it on tap big time, but then, to find it like not during Fest season is kind of more like searching out for a craft brew. But no, there's other big brewers here that are more like the Bud Light. So
I guess I might need to rephrase that. I mean, not necessarily that it's mass marketed as Bud Light is, but I guess it would be more like for me to reference like a fat tire. Like you go into a bar and you want to get like a good decent beer, but it's like the middle of the line type.
Yeah.
You know, just like a good starter beer whenever you still want good taste.
Gotcha. Yeah, definitely. Obviously way better tasting than Bud Light, but yeah, along the line where you're like, I don't want to have to spend a shit ton of money for a good beer. And really saying that, all beer here is really pretty cheap. Like a six pack of really good beer here is probably like $6.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, all alcohol here is awesomely cheap. It's really cool. A really good bottle of wine is like $7-$8. That's like a really good bottle of wine.
Holy shit, man.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Jeez, that's about what I would pay for an extra large bottle of Mad Dog over here.
I know, right? Yeah. So it's pretty cool. What do you got over there?
This is a CSP first, Ty. I'm actually gonna try. I've been wanting to try Dogfish Head for a long time. And anyone that's around the St. Louis area knows that they don't send it out here. It doesn't go. I think the closest market that it's in around this area would be like Chicago, which is like a 4-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
So I was back in Illinois, kind of close to where I grew up in Waterloo, and I was just walking through the Schnucks down there, and I see that they have a couple different varieties of Dogfish Head. This is a first for me. So I immediately snap a pic of it with my phone. I send it to Eric, and I say, Eric, is this a thing now, dude, or what? And he hits me back. He's like, buy it immediately. Buy it now. So I picked up a 4-pack of it, which is definitely not as cheap as you were describing beer is in Germany. I spent almost $13 on 4 average-sized bottles of beer.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it does have a label on the front that says it's been voted 5 years in a row to be the greatest beer in America.
Yeah. See, like, that beer, though, that you're about to drink is definitely going to be better than the beer I have over here. I think we've talked about that. Like, all the beer over here is better than all big American beers, like your Budweiser, Heineken, and stuff like that. But for craft brews, I still got to give it up to America on that one. So
they seem to have that down pat with the craft brews, and they like to try a lot of weird shit, which I like.
They do, man. They take risks and go in crazy directions, and that's what they don't do over here. And nobody believes me over here either, but I'm just like I guess they just don't know. All they know is Bud and Miller, you know. So.
Okay, so you're still on the on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I sound like grandpa. You're still on the Netflix,
Watch
right?
the Netflix.
have you seen there's a show called Brew Dogs on there. And
Yeah, I've heard of it and I've seen it, but I haven't watched it, no.
yeah, it's actually the dude from Dogfish Head, which he is a total like he's a cool guy, but he's like a total like stoner jock from high school. That's what he reminds me of. He's like, yeah, man, we're gonna get these organic, chestnuts and we're gonna chew them up and spit them into the thing. And he's all about everything being so like done the way it was in ancient times. It's really cool, but that kind of revolves around the entire process of making Dogfish Head. If you haven't
Really?
checked that out, man, I would definitely recommend watching it.
All right, I might have to watch that. Why do you know why it's so hard to get dogfish in Missouri? Like, that's a thing. Like, if anybody doesn't realize it, like, you can't find dogfish in Missouri. In St. Louis, for sure. I've never come across dogfish. Like, I always hear you got to go across state lines for it.
Oh yeah, and I mean I know that they're located in Delaware. I guess that they're not really big enough to go national completely, so they're just I guess it might kind of be the same way with like you can't get Schlafly in Colorado. I'm not for sure. I mean I would think the Dogfish Head is getting to where they're big enough to be nationally renowned, but
Yeah, that's what I figured too, but
anybody in the area right now, if you want to get it, you can go to Waterloo Schnucks. They have it there. They even have the seasonal brew. It's crazy.
Dude, that's awesome. They got it at Schnucks. That's
Yeah.
funny.
And I thought, hey, man, I'm gonna start checking out all the Schnucks around. That's the only fucking one. None in the St. Louis area. So, anyways, though, I have the 90-minute IPA. I didn't want to go with the 60-minute. Didn't have enough money to go with the 120-minute. So I kind of met it right in the middle.
Right in the center. Good call.
But yeah, I'm gonna pop this open right now. I'm gonna have my first experience of it while we're recording. So
Yeah, crack it open, dude. I'm jealous, actually.
I'm gonna use my one of a kind Greg's Beer Reviews fucking sweet bottle opener.
Nice. Shout out. Look at the moves, too.
I learned it from Greg.
He flicked it around like a gangster, like a little hood rat in the 80s.
He calls that the barrel roll.
Nice.
All right, here we go. It's got a nice pour to it, nice color.
Yeah. Can
Oh,
I just say that you are a master of pouring?
is that true?
You're really good at pouring, dude. Every pour I ever see you do is like beautiful.
Oh man. Well, whenever, especially with an IPA, if you're gonna pour it into a bot or into a glass, you gotta take the time to do it, and I want it to look nice, you know?
You do. You make it effortless too.
All right, it's got a nice kind of it's got a nice bronzy type color to it. Beautiful smell of just the smell of hops just fills the air, Ty.
I bet, buddy. Looks nice.
Oh yeah. That's
Yeah.
what's up.
Pretty good. Does it taste like 9%?
It does. It's got a little bit of an alcohol kick to it, that's for sure. And I should mention that I've been taking a break from drinking as much because I had kind of a back thing, so the doctor put me on some pain pills. So whenever I take those, I've kind of given up drinking altogether because I don't want to mix two things.
You
So
got it. Yep.
this can be my first beer in a while, and it's a 9% ABV, so it's probably gonna get me going by the second segment. I'm probably gonna really be feeling it.
It's gonna kick in for
So,
sure. Yep.
man, this is you should try to get some of this, Ty.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll pay an exorbitant amount of money to have it shipped over here or something.
All right. Well, hey, let's get down to business here on Late Night CSP.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since we've done this, and I've been holding on to this story for a little while because I wanted to share it with you, and I want to get this. Normally we wait till like the second or third segment. I want to get this going right now, and I want to kind of almost do like a like you're the judge and the jailer on this, and I want you to tell me and be 100% honest with me how you would have whether I'm guilty or not guilty here.
All right, all right.
Okay. So it was about 2 weeks ago at this point. I was walking through West County Mall, which I enjoy doing. They have very good samples in the food court. I like to go do my roundabout of the samples.
Yeah.
And I'm getting ready to walk out of the mall. And it was me and baby girl, me and Princess, were walking around the mall. And then as we're walking out, I all of a sudden realize, oh, man, they have a candy store here. I want to go in and get some sour candy. I think that would be really good. And she's like, okay. So we were out of the mall, and we literally walk back into the mall. It's like 8:30 at night. We go into Candy City, and first of all, there are like six or seven, 11-year-old girls running rampant in this fucking store. It makes me want to pull my hair out immediately. So anyways, we're just walking around, and we're scoping the place out, whatever we want to get. I'm scooping some crybaby tears, some sour belts into my bag. Not even a lot. Like, sometimes I'll go into a candy store and I'll spend $25 on like a 3-pound bag of candy. Yeah. This was literally, maybe in total, it was about as much as one scoop from a bin. So it wasn't much at all. Meanwhile, baby girl is over here and she is scooping out a couple of, I think she was getting chewy sprees, I want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. So she looks over, and I'm looking back at it like it's the Zapruder film, like I'm watching from a distance of all this that's happening. She looks over at me, and she's making some comment that's stupid. It's like nothing, whatever. One solo spree falls out of the scoop, and it hits the ground, and it rolls across.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady that's running the joint flips her shit, man, and she looks over at us. At this point, we're the only two in the store. The girls had already left. And she stops what she's doing. I think she was even on the phone. And she goes, "You got to be more careful. What do you? You don't make a mess in my store. You got to blah, blah, blah." And starts yelling at us, like trying to make her feel stupid. And we both look at each other, and we're so turned off at this point, Ty. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So she, baby girl, makes a comment back and says, "Well, maybe you shouldn't fill the bin up so high, because the bin was ridiculously full. Like, you couldn't even get the scooper in there." So, anyways, that's not important. She's like, "Well, let's just get out of here. Let's buy our candy and leave." She starts walking towards the counter, and I'm looking at the lady. She's kind of giving me a dirty look, and I'm just like, you know what? I don't like the way that this lady has treated us at all.
Yeah,
fuck this. That. And I make a point to just set my bag down.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, "Are you going to buy that?" And I go, "You know what? I've changed my mind. I want to take my business elsewhere. I'm not happy with you. I'm just going to leave." And I say it in a real nice manner like that. And then she snaps back with, "Well, once you mix it, you have to buy it."
Rules, Rocky.
I know. I'm not familiar with these rules. And I go, "Well, I'm just kind of not happy with the way you treated me, and I'm not going to buy it." And she goes, "Well, you have to." And I go, "Well, I'm not, so I don't really know, where this is going to go." So I'm getting prepared to just, she's going to finish paying for her bag of candy, and we're getting prepared to just walk out, because we're in the middle of a mall. It's like, you're not going to make me buy this. I'm just going to fucking leave. I'm not trying to steal it. So we're getting ready to walk out, and she goes, "If you don't buy that, I'm going to call security." And whenever she says she's going to bring security into this, I'm like, all right, I'm hanging out now. I'm not going anywhere. This is going to be fucking sweet.
Yeah, to see what happens here.
Exactly. She calls security. She tells him, "Yeah, there, we have a problem at Candy City."
Crisis, Candy City.
Exactly. Exactly. So the guy rushes over on his Segway. And he's like,
"What's on a Segway?"
Oh, dude, West County Mall, they give all the security guards Segways.
God, I love it, yeah. All right.
He brought backup, too. There were two of them.
Dang.
So
came prepared.
Oh, yeah. So I'm standing here. I'm just being as calm as possible. She starts, in the meantime, while we're waiting for security, the lady is getting up in our face, doing the finger shake. She's shaking her finger at us, and I'm like, I'm not even going to argue with you about this. I'm not going to buy the candy. This is what's going to happen. So security gets there, and they're probably thinking, oh my god, there are like 8 teenagers from class of Nukem High. They're here with mohawks, and they're like giving a noogie to the shopkeeper and everything.
You guys are just thrashing the store, throwing candy everywhere.
Right.
Candy raining down.
So I just, she's like, "Well, these are them right here. These are the people." And the security guards, he walks in, and I'm like, she was being rude to me, and I don't want to buy the candy. I'm not going to buy it. And she's saying, well, this is our store policy. If you mix it, you buy it, blah, blah, blah. And the guard's like, well, I don't really know. We can't make him buy something if he doesn't want to.
Oh, that's great.
So she's getting pissed. She's got the manager of the store on the phone, which he's at home. He's having a lovely evening, I'm sure. And she's like, we got some hoodlums over here giving me a problem. Get down here immediately. So the manager's on his way over to the store. She wants to get the cops called. The security was like, we can't make him do this. All we can do is, you know, get the cops if you want. And the security guard's being super cool with me, by the way. He's like, I don't, you know, I'm sorry about this, but I don't really know. I don't blame you at all. If she's being rude, I wouldn't be buying this either. And, wow. Yeah. So I'm telling the guard, listen, I don't want to involve the police here. I mean, I feel like there are a lot of other more important things they could be doing than this right now. And I was like, to be honest, I just don't want to give her the satisfaction of buying candy from her. Mm-hmm. So he's like, well, we already called them. They're on their way down. It's just procedure, whatever. So the cop comes down an even bigger, like more like tricked out segue. And he
he's got a detailed segue with like blue flames on it.
Oh yeah. And first he misses the store and he goes out towards the parking lot and the other guard's like, hey, we're over here. And then the one security guard's like, I think he's got another call. And I'm like, well, I hope it's a lot more important than this one. I don't know what could be, but I sure hope it is. Finally he gets there, the security guards give him a rundown of what's going on. He looks over at me and he's kind of chuckling. And I was like, okay, before we go any further, I'll let you know that whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do, because I don't want to make this a big thing. Just ridiculous. So he goes in and talks to her and he's like, okay, here's the deal. I can't really make you do anything. And if you were to walk away right now, there's really not a lot I could do. And I was like, so you mean if I drive out of the parking lot, I'm not going to get swarmed by eight, you know, state troopers and SWAT team and everything over this? And he goes, no, it's not going to happen, but I can't guarantee that she won't try to press charges for breaking store policy. And I was like, man, what the hell? It's a $3 bag of candy, Ty.
Mm-hmm.
It's become a 45-minute, like, epic thing at this point. And he's like, I'll have to fill out paperwork and all this stuff. And I was like, well, I don't want to make your job any harder about this. So I'm like, all right, I'll go pay for it. So we walk in there, and he gives her the whole rundown, like, he doesn't have to pay for this. He doesn't have to do that, but he's nice enough to get this over with. He's going to give you the $3 for this candy. So as I'm paying for it, the manager comes in, and he looks like he's ready to fight somebody. And I told him, I was happy that he came in, because I was like, I paid for the candy, I didn't want to, but I want to let you know that she was incredibly rude, and that's what started this whole thing. And she's like, well, if you would like, we could watch the video. And I was like, I really wish that you could put the video on right now, because she was...
I would love for you to pull this video so we could watch it, yes.
Dude, she was so animated. And like, if you watch the video from like a security standpoint, she is pacing the floor, shaking her finger, moving around, and I'm just standing here. And the manager apologizes to me. I love that he probably drove, you know, 20 minutes to get there in a flash. Yeah. And oh, shit. So pay for the candy. I walk out. I'm all like, I'm super like, got like high from it, man. Like I'm feeling mm-hmm. good. The next morning I wake up and we're talking about the whole thing again, eating the candy that we purchased while we're talking about it. And we're like, man, fuck Candy City, dude. This place sucks. Yeah. And then we're eating the candy. And we're like, kind of sucks that we can't go back there though, because it's so close.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, I have to mention, too, that while we were telling her all this shit about the thing being so full and that she was terrible at customer service, she tells us, I've been in this business for 20 years, okay?
Wow. I've been in the mall candy retail.
Oh, man, I know. Business. And I'm thinking, you've been fucking in this business of Candy City for 20 years and you're not even mayor of Candy City.
Wow.
Like, not even maybe like running for Senate or like head of Candy State at this point.
No.
So that was my big adventure there. I mean, what do you think? What do you make of that tie?
I think that's awesome. That's pretty awesome. That's a pretty awesome story. I don't know. It kind of sounds like she was just really grumpy about being at Candy City for however long, for years and years. And then she just took it out on you guys. And once she did that, maybe she couldn't take it back. Like she was already invested in it. And
She
couldn't she couldn't take it back without saving face.
was invested in it. There was a point where she was at the line looking back. Maybe I could go back, or maybe I could go forward. She took a little step forward, and at that point, I can't go back now.
She crossed that line. You can't do it now.
Yep.
Once you threaten with the old law security, what are you gonna do?
And maybe she was hoping that would like send shivers down my spine, like, oh no, not the mall security, please. And maybe if I had pockets full of sweet tarts, I would have been like, okay, I don't want to involve security in this. But the fact that I told her I didn't want to buy candy from her store and she's going to involve security, I'm like, I cannot pass up this opportunity to sit back and watch this happen.
No way, no way. Yeah, that's awesome to be telling somebody that they must purchase something. You better purchase this, or I'm gonna call security. It's
I
insane. That's an like, what's going on in her brain? Like, what kind of thought process
know.
does that make sense?
She's like, this is store policy. And I'm like, okay, well, it's too bad that like your store policy has nothing to do with the law of this country, because I don't care what your policy is. The most you can do is ask me to leave, and I'm trying to leave.
Well, it is Candy City, so it doesn't fall under the same laws and regulations as the rest, like of the United States. So
Oh, dude, you're right. So I was under Candy City jurisdiction at that point.
you were, but if you would have just crossed out into the mall, then you would have been outside of her jurisdiction. So.
I can't believe that she wasted time calling the De Pere Police Department. She should have got the Candy City Police Department, because I'm sure they would have arrested me immediately.
They would have come out in little candy cars with with big peppermint wheels. Oh, that would have been so great.
And gumdrop hats on.
Did you know her boss got there and he was just like, as soon as he walked in and he saw what was going on, he's just like, God damn it, Wanda, not again.
Yep, he was pretty angry, and I could tell that. And that was enough for me, because so she won the battle. She won the battle of Candy City that day, because I came back in there and I paid for the candy and I took it. So she won the battle, but I'm pretty sure that I won the war, because I wanted to at least let the manager know what had happened. And any time that you're working at Candy City and the cops are called on your shift, that can't be the best numbers for you.
Can't be. No. Yeah, I mean, at the end, all you're doing is appeasing a crazy person. You can't consider it a loss. You can just consider it letting a crazy person think that they won so that they can move on with their life and everybody else can too.
And after 20 years in the business of selling candy, you have to go a little mad, right?
It must be. It must be all that sugar. All that candy must go to your head.
And I mean, look at Willy Wonka. Like, he was fucking out of his mind.
He's pretty nuts.
That was the whole thing I was thinking of too. Like, as she was yelling at me, I just spaced out and I could just see her mouth moving. I couldn't hear anything. And all I'm thinking is how jolly the guy on Willy Wonka, the candy man, like everybody that's, he's like throwing candy around and scooping shit out and giving everybody free candy. And like, who can take, mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
Did it change your thoughts completely on the candy business?
It did, man, because that's all I was thinking about. And I was like, shouldn't you be mixing this with love and making the world taste good? And she just was
No.
not having it.
No, motherfucker, you better buy it. You better purchase something in the store.
She was the most angry candy seller I've ever seen. How can you be angry in that business?
Wow, you think she still works there?
Oh, I don't know if she does or not. I mean, I would hate, in a way, I would kind of feel bad if I ended her 20-year run in that business just by my being troublesome that night. But maybe she needed a kick in the pants, you know?
She might have. Maybe she's down at, maybe she's working at, she got bumped down to like Candy County or Candy Village or something.
Maybe so. Yeah, and I wish this, our entire township here is overrun by candy cities. There are like three of them, and they're the only place you can go for really good candy. So, Yeah, man. So
You're gonna have to do like a you're gonna have to do a flyby one day. Just if you happen to be in the mall, just do a flyby, see if she's in there, and if not, fuck it.
Yep.
Get some candy.
I'll have to start just carrying around a fake nose and mustache just because I can't show my face in Candy City again.
And be extremely careful as you're scooping candy out of
Yeah.
the bin.
Also, I was kind of hoping that she would like place a picture up of me in Candy City.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
Like, yeah, and all I was thinking about is like, so I grew up about an hour from here in sort of a rural area, and I was just thinking, okay, people haven't that grew up there, they haven't heard from me that went to high school with me, they haven't heard from me in a while. I just had like an awesome just dream of somebody coming up to St. Louis and going through the candy store, and then in the candy store they have a picture of me, and it just says, if this guy comes into the candy store, call the police immediately.
Candy City's number one most wanted.
Yeah, that would have made it all worthwhile for me, dude. It's like Candy City has the opposite effect. Like the worst thing that could happen, but the fact that it's happening to you in a candy store makes it a positive experience.
It really does. Like I would be actually pretty proud in that moment to have the cops called on me in a candy store for not buying candy.
Oh, dude, if that happens to you at a bar, it's shameful. You know, if they have your picture up, you know, you can't come in. It's shameful. It's so fucking ridiculous that that would happen in a candy store, that makes it all worthwhile, Ty.
Absolutely, it does. Yeah, I think you're vindicated, buddy.
All right. All right. So I've been going to the gas station to get my candy. I mean, it's not as good, but I do. I feel proud. Like I feel like I'm doing this for the greater good.
Hey man, it was worth it. Small victories.
Small victories add up. Well, Ty, believe it or not, we have been talking about this for about a half hour at this point.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
This Candy City story is really, it's just completely flew us through the first segment.
Really did, buddy.
So, what do you say we take a little break and we can keep sipping on these brews and we get a little bit of a buzz and then we come back for more?
Yeah, definitely. That sounds like a plan.
All right. And oh, I should say also, we do have the house band in from our 14th episode spectacular, Johnny Ringo on the Tombstone 5.
Oh, you got him back?
We got them back. We have them, well, hopefully we have them for the rest of the show, but they are going to play us in and out of the breaks.
Awesome. Hey guys, how's it going?
They're waving. We don't have a mic right now, but they are waving at you.
Awesome.
So, all right, well, let's let the guys take it away, and we will be back with more CSP Late Night Edition.
The most tasteful of your taste buds.
Baby carrots, baby.
Feel that feeling. You know the feeling.
Overt sexual innuendo.
Indulge the most tasteful of your taste buds.
You already said that.
Oh, baby. Carrots.
Baby carrots.
Now in chic junk food packaging.
All right, everybody, we're back on Late Night CSP. Again, we got it, Ty. We have to thank Johnny Ringo and the Tombstone 5. They really add a little something to it every time they're here performing in studio.
They really do, and they give us a like a gravitas,
Oh
just a
yeah.
little something that catapults us into just a little pro level.
And whenever we're doing a late night CSP, there are two things that come in my mind, and one is the insane amount of beer that we drink, and then the other is Johnny Ringo and the Tombstone Five bringing their smooth jazz flavor to the show.
It really is. Like, at this point, it wouldn't be late night CSP without Johnny Ringo and the guys. So
big shout out to them. We can give a shout out to ourselves. I mean, you guys can always drop us a line at Complete Sentences. Ty, what's our email address?
Is it CompleteSentencesPod@gmail.com?
That is it. That's it.
All right. CompleteSentencesPod@gmail.com. We got our old Facebook at facebook.com/CompleteSentencesPodcast.
Yep, there we go. And this is one I can remember. We're on Twitter at Ty and Rocky K.
That's right. Drop us a tweet every now and then.
So, all right. Well, listen, it's basically the way that we do things around here, Ty, but I want to talk a little bit about any movies that you've seen lately. We can't have a podcast where we don't talk about that.
No, we have to, man. Let's see. Most recently in the theaters, I saw Noah, the new Darren Aronofsky.
And how'd you feel about that? Did you like it?
The jury's still out, man. I think I need to watch it again. I think I went in expecting something mind-blowing, just based on, like, Black Swan what's The Fountain.
The Fountain.
I went in expecting something really mind-blowing, and what I got was just, like, a really good, like, fantasy movie that had some really cool artistic elements to it. But I don't know if my hopes were too high or what. So it was good, but it wasn't as good as I had been hoping it would be. But then when I look back on it, I kind of realized, like, okay, it was just actually a pretty good movie. So
now is the main thing that was sticking in my mind about this movie is Darren Aronofsky, is he trying to put out some type of religious message with this, or is it merely just storytelling, or does he have any type of message he's trying to get across?
Yeah, it seemed like the overall message to me was basically one of being really being good stewards of the earth, which is just like taking care of the earth and taking care of all the creatures in it, and that's what we should be doing instead of focusing on greed and consuming everything. So yeah, actually there were really strong messages of basically taking care of the earth. Like one example, Noah and his family, they're all vegetarians. They don't eat animals at all. And for them, it's an evil thing to kill animals when there's so much, you know, sustenance to be had, you know, with plant life and vegetation and stuff. There wasn't really a religious message, and the way it worked is the landscape and the animals and everything was just tweaked a little bit so that you felt like you were watching a fantasy film instead of a religious film, you know, based on something in the Bible. So you just felt like you were watching like a cool fantasy film set in some other world or something. All the messages were still there as far as religion goes, but if you're not religious, it was really easy to distance yourself from that.
And you think that the religious right-wing conservatives that were all tuning into the movie, I'm sure they were all excited about it. Do you think that they were happy with the way that it was perceived, or...?
Well, it doesn't look like they are, just from like reviews and stuff. It looks like they're unhappy because there are a lot of really small changes, like adding this character or adding like there's these big rock giants, and what they are the fallen angels who decided to go down to Earth to help Adam and Eve after they fell away from God. And so God cursed them and they became like these big rock giants that just were like cursed to walk the earth forever. So there's stuff like that that's thrown in there, and that pissed off a whole lot of the religious folks. But for me, even I think when I was even a Christian, I would have still enjoyed it because overall, despite what the story is and how it's told, the message is still there, like, completely.
And for anybody that's over on that side, you have to at least respect the fact that he's even saying that that story is for real. Like, this is what happened in the story, and not so much just being like, fucking, he took two of every animal and built it on a ship. Yeah, like, put them on a ship. Like, yeah, right. That could never happen. He was making it happen.
Yeah. That's amazing to me. That, like, it's just funny. I guess being on the outside of it, it's not like, because for them, it's like something, for a lot of them still only think it's a parable or something, but there's a lot of them who think it really happened. So it's amazing to hear them complaining, you know, that he took some sort of artistic license in this story about a flood that completely wiped out the entire earth except for this ark that had every single animal on it. So, but yeah, and the way he did that was even pretty cool. Like, he had some good ideas of how they did it, and yeah. And then it was cool also that he showed some other animals that didn't make it, and so there were weird beasts that like didn't make it through the flood or something. So they looked strange, but it's because, you know, we don't see them now because they went extinct when the flood happened. So.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to check it out. I mean, I'm a huge Darren Aronofsky fan, and mm-hmm. I mean, I like all of his. I like how he just has no fear really of tackling a subject. Even like for him to be a really like artistic director coming off of The Fountain, and then he goes into like the world of wrestling and he makes The Wrestler. I thought that was like extremely ballsy.
It is, man. Yeah, he's a fantastic director, and his artistic side, like more of the Fountain side of it. Definitely came out in a lot of, because Noah has visions, obviously. So in some of the visions are some really beautiful cinematography and visuals, and showing like the birth of the universe and the evolution of animals and stuff.
So there it is. Definitely, I guess you're giving it a check it out or wait till DVD. Yeah. What do you say?
I'm giving it a check it out. He's an awesome director, and he makes fantastic movies. So. If you're going to go to the theater and spend money on a movie, you know, might as well go see his. I'm going to watch it again. Yeah. I don't know if I'll pay to see it again, but yeah, I'm going to watch it again before I really give it a solid judgment, I think.
Sure. And I think that that's a really good way to look at it, because I mean, even the master Hitchcock had a couple flops. Even if you don't know for sure mm-hmm. if this is a flop at this point, you still want to give it a try and generate your own opinion about it.
Yeah, really. And it's not his best. I wouldn't even say that. Like, I don't think I'll think that even if I watch it again. But it's still good. Better than most of the shit that's out there anyway.
Sure. Sure.
So, yeah, you seen anything?
Movies that I've... To be honest with you, I have not been to a movie theater in a long time. I'm trying to remember what the last movie was that I saw in the theater. I mean, I say a long time. There's probably people that haven't gone to a movie since they've seen Home Alone at the theater. Yeah, really. But I think the last one that I saw was Anchorman 2.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's been about a good 4 months, I would say. But that's a long time for me to not go see a movie.
Yeah, for sure. For some people, that might not be. There's some people that only go, like, once a year. And then, like you said, some people who... You know, years between, but 4 months, I think, for us is a good amount.
Oh, shit. My brother hasn't. The last movie my brother saw in a theater was Twister.
Wow.
That's pretty old school, man. Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt, they haven't. Anytime they're doing a movie together, you know that you're trapped in the mid 90s somehow.
You know, it's way back in the day. Yeah, for sure. Huh. Yeah, I just watched I guess it was WWF then, is 1989, starring Hulk Hogan. And I think at the time there were a lot of other big networks who were really coming down and being really shitty to the WWF. So they got together and decided to make this movie called No Holds Barred, which is there's like this fake – it's like this fake wrestling federation that he fights for, and these big corporations are trying to basically they're trying to get him to work for them, basically, with money, and just trying to entice him with money, and just, like, bullshit mega corporations, and he's not having it, so they decide to make their own wrestling federation and to challenge him. Yeah, it's 1989, and it's one of the worst, most awesome movies I've ever seen.
And this, you're referring to Hulk Hogan, right? Didn't he have the title role? What was his name in the movie? Because I've never seen it.
Yeah, his name was Rip.
Rip?
His name is Rip, R-I-P. Yeah.
No last name or anything? It's just Rip?
No. I don't think, let me see if he had a last name.
Rip Markowitz.
No, Rip. That's the only thing we ever call him. Whole entire movie, his name is Rip, and he basically plays himself, except that he wears white, basically. Yeah.
Instead of yellow.
He dresses like a wrestling angel.
You gotta love Hulk Hogan, everything that he's done for the wrestling business, and just his talent in general, but you can't get too much out of him acting-wise unless he's playing himself.
No, it was so bad. There was... I can't even believe how bad it was. It was incredible. I mean, we could go into it, but really the reason I found out about it is because I started listening to a podcast, How Did This Get Made? You know that one?
Okay, I haven't heard it.
Yeah, it's Paul Scheer. You know Paul Scheer?
Uh-huh.
He's like the comedian. He has a podcast on the Earwolf Network, How Did This Get Made? And basically every 2 or 3 weeks, him and a few comedians get together and they watch like a completely shitty movie, and then they do a podcast, a live podcast. Or no, some of them are live. Basically just talking about this awful movie and wondering how it got made. It's a pretty awesome podcast, actually.
I'll have to check that out. I wonder if they've already done the Sylvester Stallone, was it Over the Top, his arm wrestling movie that he did?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know if they did. Let me see. I can try to look. Yeah, they've done so many movies. They did, what was the Jean-Claude Van Damme and who's the basketball player?
Michael Jordan?
It was Double Team. No, yeah, Michael Jordan. No, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Was it Dennis Rodman? I know he was in
Dennis.
Dennis
Rodman. Yeah, it was Double Team. But yeah, it's better if you like actually watch the movies. So it's an awesome podcast, especially if you like really shitty, cheesy movies.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out, man. That sounds cool. It's every time I hear of, I like these podcasts that have like a really witty theme to them, you know, that you wouldn't think of. I feel like we've had so many of those. Like, we definitely had ideas of what to make of this podcast, and then it always just became like, you know, let's just talk about it. And then that's what the podcast became, is just being like kind of a shitty, shitty version of something with an awesome theme.
This podcast is just a suppository of all our awesome ideas, really.
It's true, man.
I think the right word would be repository, wouldn't it? I think I'm pretty sure suppository is a medication that you put in your butt.
Yeah, I think so. It could be described as that too.
It very well could be. It fits, right?
I'm sure it's been called worse things, Ty.
Yeah.
And also, I think it's more of a complete showcase of our laziness and lack of planning skills.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh man, that's great.
And our love for beer.
Our love for beer and many, many things. Our love of many things.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Speaking of shitty old movies, I listened to the last podcast that you had with, what was his name?
Oh, with Dan Kinnam from Adjust Your Tracking.
Yeah, man, that was an awesome podcast for sure.
Yeah, it all started with... First of all, it was like I heard that this documentary was coming out like 2 years ago, and I was following it. I could not wait to see it. And then they started releasing it available on download through their website like a couple weeks before they actually released the set. So I paid $14 to stream it, and then I also pre-ordered the big box set. Like, I was so like fanatical about this. I could not wait. And I didn't want to just torrent it either, because, you know, I know that they're just like us, Ty. This would be like if we tried to do CSP the movie and then people would just torrent it, and it would just be shitty.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, I just sent him an email and we started texting and he was super cool about everything. And it's always cool to get that perspective, people that are out there really doing it, you know?
Yeah, man, he is living the dream, right?
Oh, for sure.
How did you get in contact with him? Did you just tweet him or?
Yeah, he started following us on Twitter because I followed them, and then I guess he checked out the podcast, following us on Twitter, and I just dropped him a line like, hey, it would be cool, you know, if you ever wanted to come on the podcast, we'd love to talk with you or whatever, and he was all about it. I would say it was maybe 2.5 weeks after that we got together and talked all about it.
Yeah, that's cool. One thing I learned, which I never knew, is that RoboCop has a Criterion. That's fantastic news to me.
Oh, man, Ty, we could have been talking about that for a while. I'm always looking for RoboCop, the Criterion release.
Holy cow. I was just like, really? RoboCop?
Yeah.
But you know what? RoboCop, the first RoboCop, is kind of underrated. It's a fantastic movie, for sure. It gets shoved into that, you know, 80s shitty movie thing, but no, it's way better than that.
I would definitely agree with that. It was a good movie, and you know, it was cool talking with Dan about those types of movies that were like Criterion releases, like you were saying, because we're on two different sides, kind of the atmosphere or the whatever I'm trying to say, Ty. We're on two different sides of the spectrum is what I'm trying to say, Ty.
Okay, yeah.
All right, you're pressuring me into this. Making me nervous. We're on two different sides of the spectrum. He's more following VHS and I'm buying DVDs, but we kind of meet in the middle in some gray area where we definitely both know about the Criterion of RoboCop, and you can like if you find that and you sell it online, you can make some serious money on the RoboCop the Criterion.
That's awesome, man. That's one thing I need to get into is the trauma stuff. Like I've seen a couple.
I've been going crazy too at this point. Anything that has the Trauma Team release label on it, I'll pick it up and give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I have 23 DVDs by them at this point. There are a lot of really good ones, dude. Of course, any of the Toxic Avengers are going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, okay. They also have what's called the Troma Masterpiece collection. There are like 6 different movies, and I guess that's like Troma's version of Criterion's.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all Troma releases. I saw a movie called Combat Shock, and if you can't find it, I would recommend at least looking online, seeing if there's a download available for it, because this movie, it's like a shot on video, super shitty 80s movie, like film-wise. But the movie is so deep and awesome. It's about this dude that he's like a war veteran, but he's like in his mid-20s at this point, and he is just ruined by the war. He's got his home life is terrible. He's got a wife and a baby, and they live in a little shithole. He doesn't have a job. He can't afford food. And the whole movie is just about this one day where he goes out and he's just walking around, and his baby, the baby on the movie it's the coolest idea ever. They made this baby like a little mutant and nobody says anything about it.
Really?
But it has the most kick-ass soundtrack. It is an amazing movie. I would definitely recommend checking that out if you can.
Really? Is that a Troma movie?
Troma released it. It's a movie by a guy named Buddy G, I think is his name.
Yeah, Buddy Giovinazzo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was one of Troma's early releases where they just paid this guy money to be able to, or I guess maybe they worked out a deal where Troma would distribute it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's kind of crazy because I just looked it up on IMDb and it's already on my watch list. Like, I'm constantly like browsing IMDb for stuff to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just like find stuff and just pop it on my watch list so I can look at it later. So that's somewhere on my watch list at some point. I clicked it in there. So probably really deep in the deep cuts.
I would put that towards the top of the list if you can get a hold of it, because it really is a good watch. It's an insane fucking movie, and the soundtrack is amazing. It's the guy that directed the movie, he was like in a band, so he did the whole soundtrack himself. And it's, you know, you can't, I've tried to download the song because there's one continuous song throughout the movie, but it just sticks in your head. It's an instrumental piece. and I'm actually going to play a clip of it right now.
Yeah, it looks great. Yeah, and by the way, everybody, Combat Shock is uploaded onto YouTube in its entirety by Trauma Movies, so it's an official upload, so you can watch it without feeling like you're ripping anybody off. Yeah, just search Combat Shock, really. That's all I did, and I found it right on YouTube, uploaded by Trauma Movies.
And once you do that, I'm sure you'll want to go out and buy the DVD, because the one that I have, especially the Trauma Masterpiece Collection, it's a two-disc set. So it has two versions of the film. One is American Nightmares, which is the never-before-seen director's cut, and then it has the entire Trauma release of Combat Shock.
Really tight. Yeah, it looks really good.
Okay, and then we'll run through the Trauma Masterpiece here, just to give you a couple ideas. So Cannibal the Musical. It's one that I'm not really as familiar with. I've seen it a couple times. It's basically, you know, it's Matt Stone, Trey Parker, so you know what you're getting yourself into with it.
Yeah.
Another number two in the Trauma Masterpiece Collection is Redneck Zombies. So I've watched parts of this before. This is just, it's even a little too campy for me. Like I don't really want to revisit it anytime soon, but there'll probably be a time when I'm fucked up and I'll pop it in just to watch it. But anyways, let me see. Number three in the set is The Last Horror Film. Now, this says Joe Spinell, so I'm not sure if you've seen maybe, he did a movie called Maniac where he played a serial killer, but he is one of the best.
Yeah, seen Maniac.
Dude, he's one of the best, like, serial killers ever in the movies.
Yeah, he was really good. Yeah, all right.
This movie's basically about, he's like a struggling actor, and he's got no money, you know, he wants to get a job, and he starts portraying this actor of a serial killer in real life, so. Number five is Mad Dog Morgan. It's a Dennis Hopper flick. I think it's like kind of a Western.
Really? A Dennis Hopper movie? Yeah. Is in Trauma?
Yeah. It's another one where they got the rights to it, I think, but.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
I haven't watched this one yet. And finally, Ty, one that you might want to check out too is called, it's number six in the list. It's called Trauma's War.
Really? Yeah.
And it's basically just about a commercial airliner that crash lands on an island, and everybody on the airplane has to go to war with the people that are living on the island, you know, like the natives.
Really? Dude, that sounds awesome.
So you got children, grandmas, businessmen, all with machine guns fighting a war against the natives.
Dude, that sounds really awesome. I'm definitely going to watch that one.
And cool. Then before we go too far into this, I want to just give you one more, because now you're talking my language here, Ty. This is
expert here, buddy.
Well, this is what I've been spending every waking hour on of my life for the last 6 months is researching and finding these movies. So we can save a lot of these for another time, but there is one more that I want you to check out if you haven't already. There's a movie that is called Christmas Evil.
Yeah.
Have you seen this?
No, I've never seen it.
It's one of the best Christmas slasher movies I've ever seen, if that's even a subgenre. But it's basically a guy sees his dad's dressed up as Santa Claus one year whenever he's a child. He doesn't realize it's his dad, and he comes down the stairs, and he sees his mom like having sex with Santa Claus, so he holds a vendetta against Christmas, basically.
Really? That sounds great, yeah.
He wants to murder like all the naughty kids for Christmas. It's awesome.
That's fantastic, yeah. Dude, it's awesome that something like Trauma exists to just like keep like schlock and awful awesomeness, you know? Keep it going and keep it alive.
Oh, yeah, and all of their shit's like it's trapped in the 80s. You know, but it's so cool. They're like doing better than ever now. They just released Return to Nuke 'Em High.
Really? Yeah.
And I picked it up at Walmart. Like, it was a mass release of it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome, man.
So, yeah, it's good to know that they're doing so good.
Getting that Walmart money.
Walmart's got some deep pockets.
They do. They do. Yeah. I think I decided I'm going to start watching, I'm going to go through Oliver Stone's movies.
All the what movies?
Oliver Stone.
Oh, Oliver Stone. Okay.
Yeah, because another podcast I've been checking out lately, too, is Nerdist. The Nerdist podcast, and he was on it, and it just sparked me to watch JFK, and I was like, God damn, this is a fantastic movie. So I'm going to go through them. I haven't seen, Natural Born Killers. I haven't seen that in, so long. I need to watch that again.
Oliver Stone's one of those guys that, you know, there are a handful of directors where you hear their name and you know you're going to at least dig aspects of the movie.
Yeah, for sure. And he's going to dig deep and he's not really going to be afraid to, you know, go into some shit.
Exactly. What's next on the list then, Oliver Stone-wise?
I think it is. I'm not going to go in order. I think it is going to be Natural Born Killers. So we'll see.
Have you seen Talk Radio?
Yeah, dude, I fucking love Talk Radio.
Oh, I know, man, me too.
I love that movie. Yeah, absolutely. I saw that movie when I was pretty young. I must have been 15 and I was just watching a movie channel super late. And I just was glued and floored by that movie. So, yeah, it's a fantastic movie if nobody's ever seen it.
And I've gotten shit from a couple different people that I bring up Talk Radio, and they're like, that is the most boring movie I've ever seen. It's super dialogue heavy, and if you're into action flicks and stuff, it might not be the best one for you. But if you just like really well written dialogue, and it's I consider it to be like a thriller too, because it's got aspects in it with just the words, you're on the edge of your seat.
Dude, it's a complete thriller. That thing has you right on the edge of your seat, right up until the ending, which is just like, oh, shit. It's a huge ending. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. But, yeah, it's obviously really talk-heavy, which is sad. People can't break through that. But, yeah, it's awesome. I've never been a big fan of Platoon, though.
Never seen Platoon. I've never been a big fan of a lot of that genre. I mean, I've watched the ones that I thought were going to be good, but it's not like I have to watch all of them, and Platoon just never really sparked my interest.
No, right? Platoon for me, it hasn't aged well. Like, you watch it and you're like, yeah, this was made in the 80s, obviously. Maybe it's the music or something. I don't know. But, yeah, and even Full Metal Jacket is really good. Like, it's good, but I don't think it's the best, Vietnam movie. Mm-mm. But, yeah.
So, yeah, man, well, Oliver Stone, that's a really good director to check out. Then I definitely want to go back and check out JFK. I haven't seen that in a long time either.
Yeah, and what's really cool about JFK is you're watching it and you just realize that basically Oliver Stone is using the movie JFK to put out all the theories and all of the weird shit that doesn't make sense. So he's just using that movie and the characters and the story and the dialogue and the setting and all the detective work that they're doing basically to make the audience listen to guys, this is fucked up. Something happened here. So, but it's really good. Yeah.
Which is genius too, because if you have that pull that an Oliver Stone has, or just any, Steven Spielberg, anything you can put out that people are going to watch, you can make history. You can rewrite history.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and you got to respect Oliver Stone for doing that. He could, you know, he could just pull a Stephen King and his – I love Stephen King – or Steven Spielberg. I love the guy, but he doesn't – his movies aren't really huge on message or trying to put forth any kind of political message or anything. But Oliver Stone isn't afraid to throw that shit in there.
Spielberg really took a lot of the safe routes.
He did, and he's fantastic, and he can make the hell out of a movie. But, yeah, for sure, safe route. Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of stuff out there to check out, Ty. It's, you know, every day I'm realizing that the world gets bigger every day. You know, it's just that you'll find something that you didn't even know was out there, and then it's a whole thing. You got to check it out.
It does, man. Every day you're finding out about this new, you know, subgenre of movies or music that you just never knew existed or even that are being created like at this moment, but you just don't have the time for all of it.
And I'm not even going to act like we have the time to talk about all of it here. I think we ought to take a break and discuss where we go from here because there's so much. You're right.
There is so much, buddy.
All right.
We got to regroup.
And I know that Johnny Ringo and the Tombstone Five are getting bored just standing there watching us talk. So maybe we'll.
They were really bored by that talk radio. that talk radio.
They definitely hate that movie. There's not enough going on in that movie for them. So I don't even know why they're here because they know. Hey, listen, CSP is pretty dialogue heavy, Ty. All right,
it is. We're predominantly dialogue on this show.
So we'll let them add a little bit of action flair that the people will get. So go ahead and take it away, and we'll be back with more late night CSP. Hey, Ty, we're back, man. Hey, I mean, listen, can you imagine doing this show without Johnny Ringo and the Tombstone Five right now?
I can't imagine it, buddy. It's unimaginable.
For a little while, we do a little bit of banter back and forth between the breaks, but for the most part, I love just watching them perform. They're true professionals.
They are. Sometimes I wish I could just hire them just to play me in and out of, like, my house. Just like I come home and they just play a little jig.
Well, let's be honest. I'm sure that's totally doable.
It probably is.
Any professional musicians that have nothing better to do than sit around in studio with us while we talk about talk radio, I'm sure you could hire them to do that.
For sure. Hey, so I guess we just had a major holiday here, didn't we? Easter?
Easter Sunday. Yes, that was yesterday. Did you have a good Easter this year?
Yeah, man, I guess. I mean, all we did was just eat a shit ton of food and just sit around and watch movies and stuff.
And after you get past the you know, whole hunting of Easter eggs whenever you're a child, that's really the reason to look forward to Easter is free food. Most of the time it's an excuse day off work, and you just get to hang around and do nothing.
Yeah, it's nice, man. And what's cool is, like, we around here, like, all we watched Let the Right One In. That was our Easter Sunday movie.
Nice.
So, which is a Swedish vampire movie. So, yeah, it was pretty chill.
That's fun, man. It still kind of sucks that you don't get, like, a whole basket full of candy. Do you still ever get an Easter basket ever?
Yeah, actually, back in the States, I do. Yeah, my mom still hooks me up over there. Over here, it's not, I don't think it's a really European or German thing to do that. They celebrate it, and they actually treat it as like a huge holiday where you actually take time and go with your family and stuff. Over here, holidays, like, they give you so much more time off just for holidays and stuff. Like, they had Friday off, Germans just had Friday off. And they also had today off, so they had the day before and the day after. So they had like a 4-day weekend because of Easter Sunday. But they don't do like all in general, even for Christmas, like all the commercialism and just like the buy shit for people just isn't there.
Well, that's definitely, I mean, like you said, you know all too well. That's what it's all about here in the States. And dude. In my opinion, they could fucking change the name of Easter to Cadbury Cream Egg Day, and I wouldn't be shocked by it, and I'd be fine by it, because that's the way, that's just the way that they have me raised in this country, is everything's commercialized. There's no true meaning to anything.
Yeah, that's true, man. I mean, I'm not complaining. Like, I love an Easter basket full of candy, so, I mean, we got that going for us.
Yeah.
Germans didn't get an Easter basket full of candy, so.
Dude.
Who's living over here, you know?
And I cannot tell you how many Cadbury cream eggs I've eaten. I'm psyched to see them around this time of year. And every time, like, yeah. I go into Walgreens or a gas station, I'll grab 3 or 4 of them and just, like, I'm chowing down on these while they're here.
Yeah, dude, I've been doing the same thing every time I'm, like, at a grocery store or something. If I spy them, I just grab them.
It's the perfect snack to grab. You know, it's not like you're not going as deep as buying a candy bar. You don't feel like as much of a fat ass as like you would. Like, I never buy a candy bar to eat, really. Mm-hmm. But buying a cream egg, it's like a little morsel, you know, like a little something something.
It is. I can never savor it though, man. I can't ever just eat like a slow, like eat it slowly.
It's hard.
Like a few bites. It's always 2 bites, if not 1.
It's hard to do. It's impossible to do. And I don't think it's meant to do it that way.
No, that's true, yeah.
So, you gotta wait till Halloween now, Ty, whenever they release the Scream Eggs, which I think are hilarious.
What's that? I don't think I've seen that.
Oh, well, just, I think it might have been just within the last couple of years, but they've kind of branched out from just releasing on Easter to now they have Cadbury Scream Eggs, which is the same exact thing, except rather than have the little, they come in purple foil, and rather than have the slightly orangish kind of yolk inside, they have green yolk. But it's the same exact thing. It's pretty cool.
Same exact thing. Oh. Change the colors. I'm there.
Yep.
I'm into it. Yeah.
So, well, this is how we begin a segment 3 here on Late Night CSP.
Yeah, it is. Dude, I'm going to Switzerland on Saturday.
Say what?
Yeah, I'm going to Switzerland. I just got approved to be basically a tour guide for it's the USO, which is like the organization that kind of like at the airport they'll have a USO center or something which is where soldiers can go to just chill. But yeah, it's a tour guide, and all I have to do is train twice on a trip, and then I get to lead it myself. So this Saturday we're going to Bern, which is the capital of Switzerland. So I keep forgetting, and then I'm like, oh shit, I'm going to Switzerland this Saturday, which I've never been there. So,
dude, that's so awesome, man. You've been there for how long? How long have you been over there now, like in Germany?
Like 8 months, I think. 8 or 9 months now.
Did you ever think that, like, in 8 months, just being in a different country, you were going to be a tour guide of some type?
No, yeah, it's crazy to think about that. Like, I almost feel like I'm scamming somebody or something. Like, Like, I'm gonna be a fucking tour guide to like Italy or something and be like, all right, guys, I know everything. Trust me in this other country with your lives. But yeah. And then I keep, even over here, I just have to keep reminding myself that I'm in Europe. Like, every once in a while, I'm just going about my life and I'm like, holy shit, and I'm in Europe right now.
It's awesome, man. I can't imagine that. You always think of just Europe as it's just a far off place, you know. It's not even real, you know. But you...
yeah, exactly. And that's what happens is I'm like I'll catch myself thinking like, oh, that's fucking like Paris. I'll never get there. That's like across the whole world. And I'm like, wait, that's 5 hours away. Like, I'm gonna probably go there this year, so I can just drive there right now if I wanted to.
Man, that's sick. Damn, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think anybody's going to be upset like that if you're a tour guide and like you don't have an accent? Like, I didn't come all the way to get guided around by an American. I could fucking do that at home if they're on vacation or something.
No, they're all Americans, so they'll be all right.
All right. Well, that's awesome, dude. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, thanks, man.
That's super cool. How close are you to like Berlin?
Probably like 5 hours from there. Germany's massive, dude. Germany's really huge. So I'm on like the western, kind of like the central western side. I'm only like, I think we talked about this, but like half an hour from the French border. And Berlin's like northeast from me, probably about 5 hours. So
I was just asking because I've been meaning to do this for a while. But I definitely want to give a shout out to Constantine Rain on Twitter. He's been a super huge supporter of us, and he's located in West Berlin.
Oh yeah, awesome, man!
But
yeah, shout out for sure.
Oh yeah, and check him out on Twitter again. His name is Constantine Rain, and that's RANE. And he's a huge Joe Rogan fan. He's also just a huge independent podcast fan. And Ty, every Friday, without fail, he includes us in a shout out. So
yeah, that's tight. That's what's up.
Yeah. So he's welcomed us to a family of podcasters, and that's what he just does. Is he just supports independent podcasts. So yeah, man, check him out on Twitter and tell him what's up.
Cool. Yeah, we'll do.
But moving on to more third segment news that we have here. You know, I have a job, Ty, that I was really happy to get, and I guess, I mean, my job per se that I do is not a prestigious job at all, but it is working for a company that is prestigious, I would say.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm waiting for you to chime in and be like, dude, anybody could work at Popeyes. Like, get the fuck off of it. It's like, they have commercials, Ty, on TV.
No big deal, dude. It's not like it's Candy City or anything.
Exactly. No, I left my job at Popeyes to get the job that I have now, so it is super, super prestigious.
There you go.
Anyways, I get a call from my mom, and she's been friends with this lady. Like, they worked together for like 20 years, and her son-in-law is trying to get on with the job that I have, and it does seem like it is kind of a hard job to break into. So, you know, she's like, well, here, give him, you know, she gave him my phone number. He can call, because going through the interview process that I went through with this company, I know that it was strenuous, and I was just sick about it. You know, it's they really just keep you waiting, and you don't know when you're going to hear anything. So I tell her, yeah, that's fine. Go ahead and have him give me a call or whatnot. So I'm driving home from the mall the other day, and this was not after the Candy City incident. This was another time I went to the mall. Anyways, the dude texts me and he's like, "Hey, man, I'm applying. Blah blah blah. If you could give me any tips, I would gladly appreciate that." So, I don't know if you have the same issue, Ty, but I always feel like I have to prepare myself just to do certain things that other people can do without even trying.
Yes.
If he wants me to just help him out, I feel like anybody else could be like, "Fuck yeah, dude! I'll tell you what I know. I gotta like research, and I want to be ready. And like, what should I give out some points here? And I really put a lot of time and effort into this."
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I'm not really looking forward to talking to the guy. No offense to him, I don't know him, but I'm not psyched about talking to a stranger about anything. It's just weird and awkward. Mm-hmm. So the whole way home, I'm stressing out about it, thinking about what I want to tell him. In my mind, I'm saying to myself, this poor dude, everything in his life right now is, it feels like an interview. I'm sure he even feels like it's an interview to talk to me because I work for the company and he wants to sound professional. And I'm like, damn, I feel bad for this guy. So hell yeah, I'll talk to him about everything I know and whatever. And I want to be ready. And I get home, I plug my phone in, my battery's running low. It's a whole production, Ty. I can't even explain to you.
It felt like you were interviewing with him, like he was going to interview you, right?
Precisely, and that's what happens with me is I feel like everything in my life is an interview, although people are probably more, in this situation at least, they're probably, you know, a little bit more stressed out about talking to me about it. Meanwhile, I'm upstairs, it's hot, I'm closing windows so there's no distractions, I'm upstairs sweating at this point. it's fucking ridiculous. I'm a tortured soul, Ty. So I text him back, you know, and I'm like, sure, man. Yeah, I can give you some pointers. You know, just, I actually have some time to talk now if you'd like.
I'm prepared
now. Yeah, let's do this. And he texts me back in like 5 minutes and he goes, dude, I don't have time to talk right now, man. I have friends over. We're watching a movie. And I can't do anything but just start laughing. Like, I just die laughing. That was the essence of my life right there.
You're agonizing and you're sweating and your preparation and your mental, like, readiness.
Yeah.
Just came down to, like, dude, not right now. Yeah. Like, it. Awesome.
And you know, I'm not angry about it because it's more of a thing that I got to jump through hoops with everything in my life, and I put myself in that prediction or that predicament, and all you can do is laugh, Ty.
That's all you can do, man. Yeah, I think I had that going a whole lot for a while, which is just like, and it would be like for stupid shit like calling, you know, my credit card company so I could, you know, sort some shit out, or going to my school to the registrar's office and sorting that shit out. Like, that was the kind of shit that that I had like a lot of anxiety over. And it's anxiety, but it was also just like, I don't feel like doing that shit. Like, I don't feel like, it just felt like really grown up, and I was just like, I have no desire to deal with that. Yeah, I don't know, but I guess at some point you just got to be like, dude, nobody wants to deal with this shit. And realize, like, what you realized, which is, like, that guy's probably just as nervous to talk to me, you know, and even more so. So,
yeah,
we're all in this together, you know.
That's totally true, man. And it's a combination of both of what you're talking about, being anxious and still not wanting to do things. And those two emotions do not go well together. Not wanting to do something and kind of being like stressed out and freaked out about doing something. That sucks when those mix.
Yeah, absolutely. It really does. One huge help too for me was at my last job was like constantly having to answer phones and talk to customers, and like, that's just part of your job is talking to customers all day and being on the phone all day. And it actually like really bumped up my confidence as far as like, and having to call like suppliers too, or like companies, and figuring out where shit is or where this order is or whatever. So that actually bumped up my confidence big time. And now like talking on the phone is just not a big deal at all.
And you kind of realize, too, that I know that whenever you have to go out of your way to call someone, you or something like your bank or just something gay like that, like you don't know, you know, you feel like you have to be completely ready. And to them, it's just another call. Like they're not putting all their effort towards like every little nuance that you do or.
No, not at all. They're probably sipping on like a Dr. Pepper. Just with the leg of their feet up, just chewing on some Slim Jims.
Yeah.
Just like, well, what do you want? And looking at the clock and wishing it was 5.
Exactly. So once you can get past that, man, that's really helpful. I know that sometimes I still get like that, even just going to, you know, Walmart or something. I feel like everyone is looking at me, but nobody gives a shit about me.
Nobody cares, man. Everybody's either too worried about their own shit, Or they're just self-absorbed anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
But anyways, so there was another text that the guy sent me. After that, I was just like, okay, you know, so I waited a second. After he completely just deflated me, I was just... Because, I mean, for a second, I was like, all right, you know what? There was part of me where I really wanted to help the guy out because I knew what it was like, and it was hell to not have any answers.
Yeah, yeah.
And sure. I wanted to be like, dude, I want to help you out, and, you know, I want you to know that, you know, you don't have to feel like it's an interview with me either because I'm just a normal dude just trying to give you advice here. So it was that plus being proud a little bit that, you know, this guy, listen, I'm on the inside, and I'm going to give this guy information to make it in here, you know? And then he just like he all of a sudden the tables always get turned on me somehow.
They do, right?
Yeah. And then whatever he's doing, like I'm like, well, I want to like come over and watch a movie with you guys.
And then you're jealous of like his social life, and you're like, damn, he's got friends over, and they're all watching a movie.
Like, damn, like, he's yeah.
They're watching. Maybe they're watching Top Radio. I don't know.
He's got friends, man. He's got friends over, and they're watching such a good movie that he can't even be texting during it.
He can't even do it. No. He's just like, dude, I can't right now. We're watching this awesome movie, and I have a lot of friends.
I can't imagine a time where a friend would text me where I don't get back to him, because whatever the fuck I'm doing, if somebody texts me, it's cooler than whatever I'm doing at that moment, like that somebody's wanting to converse with me.
It's a reminder that you have a social life, and you're like, oh, yeah.
Exactly. So, anyways, at that point, I'm just like, all right, man, you know, I'm going to not put myself out as much with this next text, but I still managed to do it. And I was like, no problem. Yeah. I'm off Sunday through Tuesday. Give me a call sometime if you want. You know, I added that.
There you go. If you want, put the ball in his court.
The ball's in his court. It's all up to you, man. So he waits a little bit because he's watching a movie. You know, it takes a little bit to respond.
Oh, yeah.
So he hits me back with, well, listen, I'm going to be busy tomorrow, too, being Easter, and I don't expect you to be free. So I was like, okay, man, I'm done. I'm not even going to respond to that.
Do you ever wonder if, and I'm pretty sure, like, me and you probably do this, we overthink our texts and we overthink, like, what we're going to respond with?
Yes.
And whatever we, like, we sit there for just too long. And whatever we come up with just comes off as something totally different than what we really meant it to be.
Yes.
But then I also wonder if everybody else does that too. Like, if that's a thing, or if that guy is just like fucking flipping off a text, like without even thinking about it. Like, you think that's what he's doing, or do you think he's also on the other end going like, all right, how should I word this?
I can't imagine that that's the case. And I think, I usually think that it's the latter. Or it's not the latter with most people, that I'm spending way too much time deciphering, you know, whatever they sent me and what I'm going to say back. And I know in my head that it's all me. Like, it's what I'm doing. And it's a problem.
Yeah, it is a problem. And it becomes like a game, too. Like, if I get a text, I'm like, well, I can't answer it right away, because if I do, I'll be like that. Like a little puppy dog that was just waiting on that one text, and then I'll jump on it, and then they'll think I'm weird. So I gotta wait like 5 minutes. But then what actually happens is I forget that I was waiting to send that text, and then I remember it like the next day, and then whatever I send is just, they're gonna think I was an asshole because I waited so long, and I was just like, fuck it, I'll get back to you whenever.
And then you're a dick, and then you want to send them like a bunch of sorries, and then be like, you know, and then kiss their ass a bunch of times. So like, I do really like you in my life, and
yeah,
dude, I know it is a game too, because I felt like with him, I had to wait, you know, a couple minutes after that.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah.
It's crazy, man. It's text etiquette.
It is.
Yeah, I don't know where we're going with that, but it's really interesting to talk about.
It is, man. It's a lot of shit, like. I don't know. There can't have been an equivalent to that, like, back in the day, like, before cell phones and stuff and before email. Like, there can't have been an equivalent.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Like, this has to be a new thing that people are trying to figure out, is, like, some weird social, like, texting and social, like what you have to do, like, your social construct of what you have to do for texting and email so as not to seem like this or to seem like this. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, we're just dabbling with it all right now. Like, we're the pioneers of this age.
Yeah, really.
Which is cool. I love it whenever, and it really all depends, especially with text messages, like what mood you're into. And if you are just kind of in a bad mood and you feel like everyone else maybe is, even whenever they send you messages that don't even sound snotty at all, you can mm-hmm. you can think that they're snotty. Like, you know, I know some people that are like, so okay, so I told them, you know, well, I don't really know if I can make it today, you know, and mm-hmm. then she said back, all right, whatever works. You know what I'm saying? It's like, well, I don't even know for sure if that's the way she said it.
Yeah, and then you're stuck like analyzing these three words and a period as if like you're gonna figure out like, was she being sarcastic?
Yeah.
Like with zero other context other than those three words.
I think what we're getting to here is fuck text messages, man. That's what I'm thinking.
Fuck them. Yeah. Fuck them.
And at the same time, I love them because I don't really like talking to people too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, Ty, I think we really broke through a lot in this episode.
We did. We got through a whole lot, didn't we?
We sure did. And that's one of my favorite things about late night CSPs is that we get, especially by this time, like the dog days of the third segment when we're just hanging out and I think we take it to a different level almost every episode.
Yeah, by the third segment, like I feel like my mind is just been dunked in a huge, massive ocean of alcohol. This hazy ocean, and I can barely see this. And the point that I'm trying to make is like the sun up above, and I'm just trying to swim. I'm trying to swim through really murky and turbulent waters just to get to the surface.
Exactly. And what we really do in the third segment is we kind of really try to dig deep and decipher our texts, really. That's what we're doing right now with everything.
That's what we are. That's what we're doing. I'm trying to decipher it with the words that I'm speaking to make points.
It's getting hard, Ty. It is. It really is.
It is difficult.
But if you go back and listen to any of our older late night episodes, this point, this is a magical, the last 10 minutes are magical. It's a magical spot that we only get to, and we usually end up talking about the way humans interact with other humans. That's kind of the same topic we always get to.
It kind of is. It is, isn't it? You know what we didn't get to this episode, though, was snack foods and cereals from the 90s.
Yeah.
So.
That's usually another one. I think it's, I guess that kind of slips our mind because we're not both in the same room. Maybe. Do you think it has something to do with it?
It might have something to do with it, yeah.
One interesting thing I've realized about snack foods, though, just really quick while we're on the topic, is back at the whole idea of just shit, like shit junk food that has nothing mm-hmm. to do with anything healthy, that sort of, a lot of that kind of died out, like, in our peak of existence, like whenever we were preteens into, like, high school.
Yeah,
a lot of that turned from just being like Dunkaroos and just, you know, shit for the sake of shit. It's just good, to like a healthy edge. But back when we were kids, nobody gave a rat's ass, dude, about anything healthy.
Nobody cared. We were just like, I want to dunk this kangaroo-shaped sugar cookie. I want to dunk it into this sugar over here that's liquefied and creamed sugar. And then I want to put that in my mouth because it's amazing.
And then,
that's what we cared about.
Oh, yeah, and then they'll come out with, like, new extreme Dunkaroos that now mm-hmm. the cookies are also covered in sugar, and we added sprinkles.
Sprinkles, right? And there's color, and all it is just, like, it's just, like, sensual. Like, there's colors, and there's texture. Oh!
Dude.
So, yeah, and now everything's really conscientious and health, just everything's focused on health. And
even down to the packaging being recycled, you know, and
it is. It is. It's kind of a weird time, man.
But back in our childhood, fucking big corporations, they didn't give a wet fart about health. And I still don't think they do. I think that they still more care about marketing, and that's just what's cool, that like people are buying things that are healthy.
It is, man. But there was a time when there was Jolt and there was Surge, yes. And they were just like, fucking energy, sugar. And they're like, more extreme.
Yeah. Even things that even could be considered to be a little healthy, they found ways to make it unhealthy.
Yeah, they really did.
Like a fruit drink, like Fruitopia. Like they found a way to make that into a like
Fruitopia.
A, yeah, dude.
Mm-hmm.
How can we make fruit juice like unhealthy?
Oh, I miss Fruitopia. They have a Fruitopia over here, but it's like actual like healthy fruit. It's called Fruitopia. It's one of the biggest. It's definitely one of the biggest betrayals I've ever faced. Oh. Was I bought Fruitopia and it just tasted like a smoothie. I was pissed.
That's rough, man. That's one of the things that hasn't really made a comeback at all. Like most junk foods, like they'll give a throwback or soft drinks, they'll give a throwback to. But Fruitopia is like it's like blacklisted almost. Like it's never on the map.
It is. You can't find it, man.
It's sad.
Mm.
Well, I think on that note, let's we'll end this episode of Late Night CSP because who knows where we're gonna go from here.
You never know, buddy.
We're gonna pick out something stupid and we're gonna go deep on it. And I think people are gonna start tuning out because it's like, you know,
because they're gonna just realize we're just a couple of raving lunatics.
Yeah, we need to end it like while they're still kind of fooled, like while we still seem a little interesting. I think if we go any further, people are gonna be like, man, I'm not buying this shit anymore.
That's true. That's a good point, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we'll put the cap on this one. Any other shout outs that we have?
No, I don't think so. No.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think so either.
Give us a call and leave us a message, right?
Yeah, dude, on Ring CSP. 347 Ring CSP, that's our number.
Tight. Yep.
We'll be happy to play it. If you guys have any funny I feel like I'm doing like that thing. Hey, if you have any interesting things that happened here, make sure that I feel like I'm on like Steve Wilkos or something.
Yeah.
Do you have a friend that is really mean to their girlfriend, but they want payback? Call us now.
That's right.
If you guys have any interesting text conversations about times whenever you really thought too hard about something somebody said, just give us a call. 347 Ring CSP.
Yeah, yeah.
And hit us up at CompleteSentencesPod@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And our Facebook, facebook.com/CompleteSentencesPodcast.
Yeah, dude. You researched that before the show because you're so quick with that one.
I am, dude. I have that one etched into my brain. However, our actual website, I would have trouble with that one.
Well, hopefully not too much longer because I'm gonna see about getting the domain. I think it's like... It's either 8 or 18. Either way, it's not super huge. It's for a one-year subscription. So within the next, I would say, a couple months, it's going to be CompleteSentencesPod.com.
Nice. So that'd be tight.
That's
cool.
That's what we're going to be working towards. But for now, it's CompleteSentencesPod.wordpress.com.
Yep, yep.
So everybody be nice to each other. Ty, it's always a pleasure talking to you, man, just like old times.
It is, buddy. Miss you over here. Hopefully be seeing you sometime soon.
Yes, I definitely am saving up some money, and I would love to come over, and maybe you could guide a tour, and maybe I could be in the tour.
Absolutely. We can get into, like, some crazy European antics over here.
Yes, I've heard of those. I've heard of those crazy European antics.
You've had. They could either be European, like the European vacation, or it could be, like, Taken. It could go either way.
Yeah, if I get there and then you have a beret and you make me wear a beret, I'm going to be really upset. Like, oh, I look like a doofus in this, Ty. No girl's going to want to talk to me. All right, man. Well, Johnny Ring on the Tombstone 5, thank you so much. Check them out on Twitter at Johnny Ring on the Tombstone 5. And play us out, guys. Have a great night. Thank you for tuning in to another very successful Late Night CSP. Ba 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 ba
You have just listened to Complete Sentences with Ty and Rocky K. Please feel free to email us at completesentencespod@gmail.com.